I'd like to begin this message with a question for everyone. The question is, outside of God, what would you cherish, say you cherish most in this world? And men, this doesn't include your car. So, what would you say you hold most valuable? Well, answer is probably going to be a person, right? Someone you're close to that you know really well, that you've developed a strong relationship with, spouse, parent, child, or brother, or sister, friend. Yeah, but let's look a little deeper than that. A little further, is it really just that physical person that you cherish, that physical being? Or wouldn't you say it's more of the life within that person that you cherish? The life that makes up their being. The life that you have that close relationship with. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 2. Read verse 7. Without life, we're basically just objects that return to dust. So what is life? Where does it come from? Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. That's a simple, short verse. But something incredibly amazing happens here. It's not something man could do. Give that spark of life, that breath that came from God. Life is incredible. It's a blessing from our almighty Creator in Jesus Christ. And God the Father used the Word to create everything in heavens and earth. Everywhere around us, we see this amazing thing called life. What's the meaning of life? So for this message, we'll look at how this word life is used in the New Testament. What does it mean? Well, there's actually more than one meaning, as it is in the Scriptures, and we'll dig into those and compare the two meanings. We'll see what they mean to us. The title of this message is The Meanings of Life. That's plural, meanings of life. So let's first look at some definitions of this word life. First one, well, actually both of these definitions I'll give are from the American Heritage College Dictionary. It puts it like this. It says, life is the property or quality that distinguishes living organisms from dead organisms and inanimate matter, manifested in functions such as metabolism, growth, reproduction, and response to stimuli or adaptation to the environment originating from within the organism. So, all that's true, but does it really capture the essence of life? Another simple definition here is it says it's the physical, mental, and spiritual experiences that constitute existence. And that sounds right too, but can man really define the word life, what it means? We're experiencing something incredible. We just read that breath of life comes from God. Life is something very special. We should take time to thank God for it every day. There's nothing like this gift of life. Let's turn to 2 Peter. We'll read in chapter 1, beginning of verse 13. So we really get a sense of how special life is when we lose someone close to us. You realize something very precious has departed. And we see that life is this marvelous thing, is temporary. The scriptures are filled with reminders of this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. It says, "Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, this body, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." Let's flip over to John chapter 10. We'll be spending a bit of time in John today for this message. So our bodies are wonderfully made, and this life has been given. It is amazing. But as we know, this body and life are temporary. And here in John 10, we'll read verses 10 and 11. We'll look at some uses of this word life. This is here in Scripture. John 10 and verse 10. "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." So the Greek word for life here that we just read in verse 11, it's different than the word, the Greek word that's used in verse 10. We're going to first look at this word life as it is in verse 11. And the Strong's, this Greek word here is psyche, P-S-Y-C-H-E, like the psyche language we use in the English language. It means it's a very basic life, defined as the breath of life, the vital force which animates the body and shows itself in breathing. It's of animals and men that in which there is life. The mortal body dies at the time the breath leaves it. So that's the life that Christ was willing to give up there in verse 11. That mortal life, this breathing life that you and I have. That Christ came and he was living a physical life in the flesh. Let's turn over to John 15. We'll read verse 13. That's another scripture where we see this use of the Greek word psyche that we translate to the word life. John 15, verse 13, Christ speaking, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." He's talking about that physical breathing life. Would we be willing to give up this life? Well, I'm sure we would for someone we love, someone we cherish. But that's that physical life, that breath life. And as we know, it's only temporary. But God has given it to us because he wants to see how we're going to use it. Are we going to love him with our heart, all of our heart and mind, all of our soul and strength? Are we going to love our neighbors even when tough times come? Human life, this physical life, is a test. And yes, it can be frustrating at times. Trials come along. That's why the Bible tells us that in Revelation 3 and verse 21, that to him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. And I also, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So we're called to be overcomers. We are to overcome the frustrations of this physical life that we encounter. And after repentance, baptism, laying on of hands, we now have the help through God's Spirit. We see that God will give us the help we need. So these bodies weren't designed to live forever. But God has something very special in mind. A new life, a life that we can't really imagine. We're given this physical life as a forerunner for the life to come. As we mentioned earlier, we know tests will come. If you're untested, you get weak. You don't really know how strong your faith is until you're tested. And difficult times will strengthen our faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 20, you don't have to turn there, just refer to it. That's where Paul tells us that we can see the work of God in creation and the life he's created. And I would say even in the life of mere insects, we can see amazing things. You just look at the life of a moth or butterfly, it's pretty amazing. We can draw some parallels that apply to us. The first life of a butterfly is that of a caterpillar. It'll eventually encase itself in a silk cocoon. And in this cocoon, the cells break down and will reorganize the DNA, causing an amazing transformation from the caterpillar to a butterfly. You may have seen, you know, outside your house somewhere or in the woods, you know, one of these cocoons. And if you happen to come across one and that has a little opening in it, you might be tempted to pull it up, open, and help that little critter get out of there. But if you did, it wouldn't survive. It first must grow through the struggle of digging its way out of the cocoon. The struggle strengthens it to be able to take on this new life. So, in a sense, you can see this like the struggles that we encounter in this life that will strengthen us and prepare us for the new life to come. Let's turn over to 1 Peter. Chapter 1, we'll read verses 3 and 4. Here in Peter, chapter 1, we're reminded of the calling of what God has called us to and how he sees us today. First Peter 1, we'll read verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, for us. There's a lot in there. Through God's mercy, we can obtain a new, incorruptible life. So So eternal life, quite a concept. We're all here because we have that hope. What exactly is eternal life? What does the Bible say about it? Well, in the Greek language as originally written in the New Testament, that language is much more exact and detailed than the language that we speak today. We know about the several words used for the word love, like philia, eros, agape. It's all translated into one word, love. So earlier we talked about the word life translated from the Greek word psyche. So right now we'll take a look at another Greek word that we translate to the word life. So let's turn back to John chapter 10. We'll read these scriptures that we read earlier. First read John chapter 10 and verse 11. We said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Well, we know that Christ gave his life for us, that breath of life. The language written in verse 11 here is different than the word he used in the verse right before in John 10:10. So let's reread verse 10 again. It says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So I have come that they may have life. The word there in the Greek for life is zoe, Z-O-E. And I would like to read what this word means from the Greek and from the Strong's commentary. It said, the word zoe, this is absolute fullness of life, both essential and ethical, which belongs to God. It's life real and genuine. A life active and vigorous, devoted to God, blessed in the portion, even in this world, of those who put their trust in Christ. But after the resurrection, to be consummated by a more perfect body to last forever. Zoe, as it's described here in Vine's Expository Dictionary, says this life is the absolute sense, life as God has it, that which the Father has in himself, and which he gave the Son to have in himself, and which the Son manifested in the world from this life as God has it. Man is alienated in consequence of the fall. He's speaking of sin there. And he continues, and of this life, men can become partakers through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who becomes its author to all such as trust in him, and who is therefore said to be the life of the believer for the life that he gives. He maintains because of his life. And that's our relationship with Christ. And let's add that because of the Holy Spirit that's in us. Continues on, it says, one day that life will extend its domain to the sphere of the body is assured by the resurrection of Christ. And this life is not merely a principle of power and mobility, however, for it has moral associations, which are inseparable from it as of holiness and righteousness. So that life has a responsibility to God. That's the life we're looking at. So if you're still in John there, let's turn over to chapter 6. we'll see this word Zoe used in the scriptures here, where we see the word life. John chapter 6, we'll read verses 51 through 53. Jesus speaking, John 6, 51. It says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. That's that Zoe life. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Again, they have the physical life, that psyche life, but not the spiritual life. Let's turn over to John 12. We'll read verse 25. We'll see here both of these Greek words, psyche and zoe, breath of life, life as God has it, show up in the same verse. John 12 and verse 25. Jesus says, he who loves his life, that's that breath of life, he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life, that hate there means to count less important, he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. That's that Zoe life, life as God has it. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 15, we'll read verses 42 through 49. Paul gives us a breakdown, a comparison of the psyche, breath of life, and the Zoe, spiritual life. First Corinthians 15. And we'll read 42 through 49. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, the breathing body. It is raised in incorruption, not going to die. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, but it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body, and there's a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, that's Christ, became a life-giving spirit. Verse 46. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of the dust. As the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. And that's what we've been called to. To become like Christ. Romans 8 and verse 29 tells us to be conformed to his image, to become like him. In Hebrews, it says that Christ was the expressed image of the Father. Let's go back to John. We'll read in chapter 17 this time. John 17, Christ praying to God on that Passover evening. Here in John 17, verse 3, says something very interesting about eternal life. John 17, verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life, that they may know you, and that they may know Jesus Christ. You know, maybe we haven't thought about that much, what that verse means. You know, Jesus didn't say eternal life is just to live forever, but eternal life is to know God and Jesus Christ. So what about this word eternal? Probably notice when you're reading, doing your Bible reading, read the verses, sometimes it'll say eternal life. Sometimes it'll say everlasting life. But in this instance, it's actually the same Greek word. The translators just used everlasting instead of eternal. I'd like to read from a source that talks about this word eternal in Scripture. This is from the Daily Bible Study Commentary, written by William Barclay. As he researched this word, eternal, he says, there is another important thought in this passage, referring to John 17, verse 3 that we just read. It says, for it contains the great New Testament definition of eternal life. It is eternal life to know God and to know Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. And he continues, let's remind ourselves of what eternal means. In the Greek, word is aionis, A-I-O-N-I-S. This word has to do not so much with duration of time, for the life which went on forever would not necessarily be a boon. But its main meaning is quality of life. And there's only one person to whom the aionis can properly be applied, and that is God. It goes on, eternal life is therefore nothing more than the life of God, which is eternal. To possess it, to enter into it, is to experience here and now something of the splendor and the majesty and the joy and the peace and the holiness which are characteristic of the life of God. Thought that was pretty interesting. Let's turn back to Old Testament here for Jeremiah. In chapter 9. So we are to know God, to experience this way of life now. Jeremiah 9, we'll read verses 23 through 24. Jeremiah 9, verse 23. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. God wants us to know him. You know, in life, there's people we know, and there are people we just know of. But eternal life is to know God. And that word know in the Greek is gnosko, and it means an intimate knowledge of God, an intimate relationship with God. And it's akin to the word know as used in the Old Testament, is the intimacy between a husband and wife. And we are to have an intimate relationship with God, knowing him and trusting him. Let's turn to John chapter 14, verse 23 for final scripture. we ask if you know someone. There could be a couple of meanings. We just said, I know them, but I know who they are, but I don't really know them. You have to spend a lot of time with someone to really get to know them. And really, the best way to know one is someone is when to live with them, like a spouse or a family member. We come to truly know God by spending time with Him, studying His Word, following His instructions, time in prayer and meditation. You know, when you marry your spouse, you make your home with them. You make your home with each other. And there are, in the early days, there are things that need to be worked out. But because of love, you're able to grow together and make a happy home. So let's look at what Jesus says here in John 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." That's what we want. We want God to make his home with us. Jesus said there that God would make his home with anyone who keeps his word, his commandments. Keeping his word shows our love for him. By doing so, we can live that life more abundantly right now. So, as Mr. Pryke and Mr. Koser mentioned earlier, Passover is approaching quickly. It's just a couple of months away. While we're examining ourselves as we live this breath of life, let's look to see if we are preparing our spiritual homes as we should. Are we loving God and keeping his word so that God and Jesus Christ would want to make their home with us? And so, brethren, this message, we've looked at two meanings of the word life in Scripture. God has given us this blessing of the breath of life, this time of testing, this time of getting to know God, this time to grow in his likeness, experiencing the struggles that help us to grow faith and godly character and to live that Zoe life. And by doing so, we're prepared to shed this cocoon, this tent we now live in, and emerge to a new life as God has it.